This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Some of you grew up remembering the cartoon strip Peanuts by Charles Schulz. One of my favorite of all time was one that shows Lucy and Charlie Brown and the children coming back to school. It's the first day of school after the summer break, and the children are asked to write an essay to be read in the class by the students of why they're glad to be back in school. And Lucy stands up and proudly reads this to the class. "Vacations are nice, but it's good to get back to school. There's nothing more satisfying or challenging than education, and I look forward to a year of expanding my knowledge." Well, the teacher was suitably impressed with Lucy's thoughts and complimented her on her fine essay. In the final frame, Lucy leans over to Charlie Brown and whispers, "After a while, you learn what sells. After a while, you learn what sells." Some of you can relate to that because you have a child, a son or daughter, who knows how to sell you. Some of you have a husband or wife who knows what buttons to push to sell you on a certain idea. They know the right things to say. They've done it for years. They did it last week. They will do it next week, or as the case may be. There may be parents who have children or grandchildren that know how to sell them. But here's what I want you to go home with. Nobody, and I mean nobody, does that with the Lord God Almighty. Nobody lets the Lord know something in a prayer and then leans over to the person next to them and says, "After a while, you learn what sells him." It just doesn't work that way. The God who made you knows your heart, and he knows you better than you know yourself. And no one sells, quote unquote, the Lord about anything, about your integrity, your character, who you are, what you've done. I want to say this right at the beginning. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the Bible says, so no one can boast. We are saved by the grace of God. Yet, having said that, we're going to read from the book of Psalms a passage where King David talks about your personal character and integrity. And he begins with a question, a rhetorical question, "Lord, who may enjoy your presence? Who can come into your presence?" And then he says, the Lord gives the answer in 4 verses and said, "This is the kind of person that can come into my presence." I'm not suggesting that you're saved by following these verses I'm going to read today. I am going to say this. The Lord lays it down as a quality of living the life, walking the talk. Walking the walk, talking the talk. It's from Psalm 15. It's probably one of the most famous of the Psalms. Let's look at verse 2. "Who may come into the presence of God? He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous." Anytime you see the word walk in Scripture, it has to do with your integrity, your personal integrity. Would you consider yourself a person of integrity? I've got an announcement to make to you today. There is no such thing as a man with partial integrity. There's no such thing as a woman who's semi-honest or semi-truthful. You are either a person of integrity or you're not. Can you imagine somebody describing themselves, say, 80% of the time, I tell the truth. 90% of the time, I tell the truth. The other 10% is up for grabs, but 90% of the time, I speak the truth. Do you know what you call that person? A liar. A liar. We are to be first and foremost, I find this intriguing, a man or woman of integrity.
Well, how would you describe yourself as a man or woman of integrity or something less? We'll continue this message from Psalm 15 tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
When you had communion today, I hope you confessed some sins. I did. We were told in the first service, don't save confession for the end of communion. Start your prayer time with confession. I thought it was a great thought, great insight. Begin with confession and then work your way back from there. And we all confess some sins. And when you do that and when you own the sin in your life, something happens. Your sin is placed under the blood of Christ, the Bible says. As far as the east is from the west, that's what the Lord does with our sins. That's good news. The Lord takes our sins, the Old Testament says, and puts them in the deepest sea, which is a figurative expression meaning they're irretrievable. The Lord doesn't rehash sin that he's forgiven in your life. You may have somebody in your family who does that all the time, and they remind you of something you did 20 years ago. Well, I remember something that happened 5 years ago, and they remind you of that. I want to tell you this, the Lord will never do that to you. The Lord will never rehash a sin that is under the blood of Christ. It's forgiven. He whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart. Bella DiPaolo was a visiting professor at the University of California at Santa Barbara. She specialized in studying forms of human deception, which is a nice way of saying lying. She asked college students and members of the community to keep a notepad to tally up the number of lies they told in 1 week. She asked her students and she asked people in the community to take a little notebook and count the number of lies that you tell in 1 week. Here's what she found out. The students had lied at least once to 38% of the people they came in contact with. Isn't that amazing? They admitted, I lied to 38% of the people I talked to this week, while the community at large said they lied to 30% of those with whom they interacted. Based on our research, DiPaolo insists that we fall into one of two categories of liars. Some of us are self-centered liars. We lie in order to make ourselves look better to others or to protect our rear ends, to put it bluntly. And the rest of us are other-centered liars. We lie in order to avoid hurting someone else's feelings. This was intriguing. The experiment found that the proverbial white lie was more often told to strangers, but deeper lies were reserved for those the liar loved most. Do you get that? The deepest lies were told to the people we're the closest to. I find that fascinating. The people that we're the closest to are oftentimes the people we tell deep lies, according to Bella DiPaolo. Let me ask you this question. Are you a man or woman of integrity or something less? According to David, according to the Old Testament passage we studied today, who may come into the presence of the Lord Almighty? A man or woman who speaks the truth in his heart or her heart. A person whose walk is blameless. They're a man or woman of integrity. Let's bring up verse 3. Another character quality is they have no slander on their tongue. Anytime you see the word slander in the Bible, it is not the legal term that we use in our culture today that a court of law would use. There is a legal definition in the state of Ohio that defines slander. It's not what I'm talking about. Biblically, here's the definition of slander. You need to write it down if you've never written this down before. Biblically speaking, slander is speech that injures. It is speech that injures. Here's the shocking part of it, folks. If that's true, that slander is speech that injures, there are husbands in this room that have slandered their wives this week. And there are wives in this room who've slandered their husbands this week. There are parents who have slandered their children this week. If you have said anything hurtful and you know in your spirit it hurt that other person, that meets the biblical definition of slander. And a man or woman of God who can come into the presence of God is someone who has no slander on their tongue, they do their neighbor no wrong, and they cast no slur on their fellow man. What's it mean to cast a slur? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you ask about a mutual friend and they never answered you, but all they did was roll their eyes? All they did was raise an eyebrow. All they did was kind of shrug their shoulders, and what they did, they implied all kinds of things going on that may or may not be true, but they did it by saying nothing. Sometimes saying nothing is a lie. Would you remember that? Sometimes saying nothing is a form of lying. When you have an opportunity to speak the truth, and you don't. And I want to focus on this next phrase because you need to underline it in your heart, if not in your Bible. Who keeps his oath even when it hurts? That is an intriguing phrase. I'm going to say something that somebody told me shocked them when I said it, but I really mean it's true. When you keep a promise, that you've made, and it hurts you to do that, you suffered financially because you kept a promise, listen carefully to this. When you keep your word, you are acting like God. I don't mean that in some arrogant sense or New Age sense that you are like a God. I don't mean that at all. I'm saying when a man or woman or teenager or young person keeps a promise and it hurt them to do it, you are acting like God because that's God-like. One of the titles for God in the Old Testament is this: He's the God of the oath. He's the God who keeps his promises. Lewis Smead writes this. I want you to listen to this paragraph. It's one of the most powerful paragraphs I've read in a long time. Lewis Smead's in his book, The Power of Promises. Somewhere, people still make and keep promises. I like that. Somewhere out there, people still make and keep promises. They choose not to quit when the going gets rough because they promised once to see it through. They stick to lost causes. They hold on to a love grown cold. They stay with people who have become pains in the neck. They still dare to make promises and care enough to keep the promises they make. I want you to listen to this next sentence. This is powerful. I want to say to you that if you have a ship, you will not desert. If you have people, you will not forsake. If you have causes, you will not abandon. Then you are like God. You are like God. What a marvelous thing a promise is. When a person makes a promise, he or she reaches out into an unpredictable future and makes one thing predictable. I will keep my word. That is predictable. I will keep my word. When a person makes a promise, he or she stakes a claim on their personal freedom and power. When you make a promise, you take a hand in creating your own future. I want to suggest that you are either a man of the oath, a woman of the oath, or we're something a lot less than that. Decide today, I'm going to be a man of my word. I'm going to be a woman of my word so that when people hear my commitment, I'm going to stick by it. There are ships that I won't desert, and there are causes I won't abandon, and there are people I will stand with no matter what happens because I've made a promise. Are you a man of the oath? Are you a woman of the oath? That's the mark of a godly man or godly woman, somebody who keeps their word even when it hurts. Now, the next one is more interesting than controversial. Verse 5 says, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent.
Well, I definitely want you to hear what this means in tomorrow's part of the message from Psalm 15. Usury is a word that maybe you've never heard of or you may have never heard defined. Our website is crosshope.org.
Now, the next one is more interesting than controversial. Verse 5 says, who lends his money without usury and does not accept a bribe against the innocent. You need to understand that in biblical times when this was written, people didn't borrow money for business ventures. People back then didn't go to their brother-in-law and say, hey, you got $10,000 you're not doing anything with so I can start a business. It wasn't that kind of thing. Get this. When people borrowed money, when this was written, they were borrowing money to stay alive. They were borrowing money to feed their family on Tuesday because they knew they didn't have any money to last through Monday. And so literally it was a life and death situations where people would go and say, I don't have money to put food on the table for tonight. Could you lend me money until tomorrow? And there were people that said, sure, I'll give you $5, but I want $7 back tomorrow. That's called usury. And David and the Lord God through David said, a person who honors the Lord doesn't charge usury when somebody's trying to stay alive. You don't charge them interest when they're just trying to feed their kids and trying to keep food on the table or a roof over their head. That helps you understand the difference. What does it mean they do not accept a bribe against the innocent? You may say, well, I've never accepted a bribe against an innocent person. No, you probably haven't. But here's what one commentator said. Have you ever had to make a choice between money and a relationship? Have you ever had to make a choice between money and the deal or a relationship and you said, I'm going for the money? Money rides in the front seat. The relationship rides in the back seat. If we've done that, according to this author, we've accepted a bribe against the innocent in a figurative sense. We've chosen money over relationships. That's what that verse means. that may have a whole way of speaking to somebody today differently than just saying, does not accept a bribe against the innocent. And then the last thing that David says, he who does these things will never, never be shaken. Have you ever been shaken in life by something that happened? Someone in first service told me about an accident they were involved in this week. I didn't know anything about it, where a car overturned and miraculously no one was hurt, but a rollover type accident. And they said, just by the grace of God, we're all right. And that person was shaken. But David says, when you do these things and you live this way, no one, get this, can shake you off your foundation with the Lord. That's what it means. You may have something that happens in your life that's so traumatic, you say it's shaken our family's financial stability. That may happen. You may have something happen that shakes your health stability and your health foundation. That may happen. But nothing will ever shake you from your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means, that you will never be shaken from your relationship with the God who made you. That relationship is based on the promises of God. Craig Larson writes about a story that, remember the man who stole, I think, $7 billion from a bank. I'll just read the story that he wrote. He said, have you ever gotten yourself into big trouble? So big you can't even conceive of how much trouble you're in? That's what the 31-year-old Jerome Kerviel is accused of. Jerome worked for a prestigious bank in France, had worked his way up from the back room to being one of the men who did the bank's investing. He was caught allegedly committing investment fraud. In other words, he carried on bogus trades designed to make him money. Here's the amazing thing. He was not dealing in millions, but in some $7 billion.
Well, you need to hear the conclusion of this story, if on an interest level, if nothing else. Our website is crosshope.org.
That's what the 31-year-old Jerome Kerviel is accused of. Jerome worked for a prestigious bank in France, had worked his way up from the back room to being one of the men who did the bank's investing. In 2008, he was caught allegedly committing investment fraud. In other words, he carried on bogus trades designed to make him money. Here's the amazing thing. He was not dealing in millions, but in some $7 billion. According to an article in the Times, at one point in the alleged scam, this man had put his bank in a position where they could lose the equivalent of about half of all the gold and currency reserves held by the country of France. And I want you to listen to this one line out of Craig Larson's article about this. Banks come and go. Jail time comes and go. Money comes and goes. But God is an exalted and holy being. To commit a crime, any crime against the infinite God is so big that you cannot even imagine how criminal it is. It's infinite. The man who committed the bank fraud got himself a lawyer. I suggest you find yourself a savior, because it's only a matter of time until you're caught. What a lie. The man who committed the bank fraud got himself a lawyer. I suggest you find yourself a savior, because it's only a matter of time until you're caught. I told this story at the end of the first service, and I had a proviso at the beginning, and I really mean this. I can't tell you the whole story because it's too emotional. It's probably the most gut-wrenching story I've ever used in the pulpit, but I can only tell you hints at it because it just can't get through it. It's that emotional. It's about a minister I knew of in California in San Francisco by the name of David Kraft. When David Kraft was 32 years old, he was 6'2" tall. He weighed 200 pounds. Diagnosed with terminal cancer at age 32, he went from 200 pounds down to 80 pounds. Now you do the math. You do the mental picture. A 6'2" guy, 200 pounds, down to 80 pounds. Shortly before he died, and this is the part of the story that I can't go into the details because it's just too emotional. I can tell you privately, probably. But he's talking to his father, saying goodbye to his dad, and he said, thank you for instilling in me the kind of character that helps me to face what I have to face this week and this month. Thank you for instilling in me the kind of character that's helping me, Dad, to face what I've got to face in the days and the weeks ahead. And David died shortly thereafter. And here's what went through my mind when I heard that statement. Thanks for instilling that in me. David's father could never have instilled that integrity and character in his son if he didn't have it himself. You can't pass on character to your children that you don't have. And you can't pass on a walk with the Lord that you don't walk and that you don't talk. And you can't pass on to your children a belief system that you don't believe in. Son, I want you to believe this. I don't believe it. I don't practice it, but I want you to. That's inconsistency on a hypocritical level. You know what I mean by that. David Kraft's dad was able to pass it down to him because he had it. He walked the talk. He lived the life. He lived the life. That's what I'm asking you to do. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith. But it's important enough for the Lord to include this in the book of Psalms, Psalm 15. Here's the person that comes into my presence, a man or woman of integrity who tells the truth, who lives the truth, tells themselves the truth in the innermost part of their being, a person who loves the Lord and honors the Lord in everyday activity.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.